This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Feeling jolly, Josh. It's the holidays. That point of the year in which there are probably going to be more game weeks than there are podcasts from Always Cheating, which is sad for the whole world, I think.
Well, it's the fall always feels too spaced out, you know, four game weeks, an international break, four game weeks, an international break. And then, yeah, we get eight fixtures in 6 weeks or something like that? Or maybe it's even less than that, eight fixtures in five. It's started to pick up some steam, and then starting basically this Friday, right? Because Friday is the first game week of game week, or the first match of game week 18. Basically nonstop, through, I think, January 3rd. So pretty intense stretch, just days away.
Yep. So we're going to do our best to preview game weeks 18 and 19 in this podcast. And then the plan is we'll be back just before game week 20 to catch up on how we did over the holidays and Boxing Day and get ready for game week 20.
That's right. So we're going to try to, jump through some of the questions, get to the game week previews a little bit earlier than normal. Normally, they come in around the hour and 50-minute mark, and we're, we talk about them for about 3 minutes before we sign off. So we're going to move it up a little, talk a little bit more about captains and transfer strategy and things like that. I do want to, I want to talk a little bit about this game week. Obviously, it was an interesting one. It was a grim one in many ways. But there's also some interesting FPL misfits, kind of some not new names exactly, but old names that were being forced to reconsider, Brandon. So that's kind of the theme of this week's episode will be FPL misfits, or the Theo Walcotts, as we're calling them.
Yes, it's kind of like how Netflix tries to bring back old shows like Full House as Fuller House. So Gerard De La Feo is like the Fuller House version of the De La Feo we knew at Everton.
Exactly. So, Brandon, let's talk about this game week, though. Let's get it out of the way. It looks like – so I had an okay game week. I know yours was not awesome. So why don't you talk about – because people who listened to last week's podcast knew that you were in kind of a tricky spot. You had Lacazette. You wanted to ship him out. You had David Silva, who was injured. You talked about burning eight at one point. So what happened? What happened?
What happened was I ended up burning four, and it seemed in hindsight, it seemed rash because one of my two transfers was Lacazette out for Sergio Aguero. He was back in training for City. There was a possibility that he'd get a start at home to Everton. And this was my attempt. It's the poker tilt thing that we talk about. It was my attempt to, after one to two bad game weeks to regain that top 10K overall form that I had. I jumped on Aguero early and I captained him. He, of course, didn't play, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise because I got a second point. Yeah, I got one extra point. And my other transfer was David Silva out. He had to go because he was going to miss a number of game weeks during the holidays. And Felipe Anderson came in, and he, of course, got an assist. He looked great. West Ham looked really excellent. We're going to have to talk about Robert Snodgrass on that island of misfit Walcotts later on. Mm-hmm. So I got one of two transfers right. I'm trying to be optimistic about this Aguero move, that it is one that will hopefully pan out over the long term. But yeah. Doesn't feel good. And then, of course, Jesus has a really excellent game. And he's been out of form since the World Cup. So he didn't screw anything up like he's typically done for Man City this season. He had two really well-taken goals, was getting in great positions. Everyone was finding him. It was working. So somewhat concerning as a new Aguero owner. Is Aguero going to have to try really hard? Is he going to get a run out midweek in the Carabao Cup against Leicester City and then miss another start in game week 18? That's another concern. But I do think that Aguero is worth all of us considering, given Kane and Aubameyang. They've delivered in some respects during this window of their opportunity, but I think some managers are getting slightly frustrated with how much money they have invested there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with Aguero over the holidays.
Strange match for Aubameyang. The Arsenal's Southampton match was a very poor defensive game, really on both sides. But it did seem like Southampton saved their best defense for Aubameyang. It's like every time he had the ball, someone made this like sliding challenge from out of nowhere to stop him from scoring. I mean, he really had could have had a brace today.
So I'll finish on 47 points, -4, so 43 in the end. Almost half of my points came from Wolverhampton with Patricio, Doherty, and Jimenez. Again, just like an under the radar FPL superstar. So yeah, I'm under the average. I'll drop way out of the top 10K, somewhere in the top 25K overall. So overall, doesn't feel great. Two bad weeks in a row. Of course, Mitro and Laka were my bad people last week, and I was hoping to bounce back. Just didn't happen.
Yeah, I guess as I was saying to you before the podcast started, I mean, I think a lot of managers listening to this podcast are kind of in the same boat. At least it was not as like a very swingy game week like last game week was. I mean, last game week it was possible to have 40 points and be in a league with somebody who had 101. You know, like that was not an uncommon, you know, sort of range of scores last game week. This game week it feels like everyone's kind of in that 40 to 60 range. You know, like give or take, you know, a couple swings one way or the other.
Here's the thing. Kane with just an assist and no bonus, not a huge swing. Sterling was able to get on the pitch and claw back some of those points that Sané got. So not huge differentials happening on Saturday. The big problem was Eden Hazard for us, both being non-Hazard owners. Three bonus, goal and an assist. That is where your huge swing is in game week 17.
Yes, and he's also part of the island of misfit Walcotts, Brandon. So we'll get to that very soon. I feel like there's a lot to talk about in that section. Exactly. I feel like if we start talking about Hazard now, we're going to talk about him for like 10 minutes.
All right, let's talk about your team, and then we can get to the real brass tacks.
Sure. So this was a good game week for some cheaper defenders. I started Wan-Bissaka and Matt Doherty, and even Fabianski, who I have to say, I could not have been harsher on the West Ham defense on last week's podcast. And they came through. I mean, they're playing a Fulham team that didn't seem to want to play as a team at all. I mean, we went to the Black Horse yesterday. It was you, me, you, and then actually two patrons, Alex Martinez and Danny Bean. And it was like a therapy session as we all watched the Fulham game with you. I mean, we were just like, Brandon, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell. It was pretty competitive in the first half, I thought. I mean, Fabianski, I think, had to make four saves in the first half. Mitro had a big chance that he just missed.
But by the second Mitro half, had that one where he crashed into the box in a diving header that he put wide. The saves that Fabianski had to make were fairly straightforward, I think, at the first half.
But true, it was a sign
that Fulham was attacking.
Exactly. It was a sign that they were attacking. By the second half, it was just Tom Kearney by himself. He was the only player who was trying on that team.
Yeah, it was so sad. I mean, Carl, you could hear the inner monologue in Kearney's head that was like, my God, what has happened to this team? What has happened to my career? Yep. No one is showing for this ball. They couldn't move the ball quickly enough at all. And I was, just from an FPL perspective, I was hoping for a goal fest. Just nothing's better from an FPL manager's point of view than just riding out two big offensive assets. So I had Felipe Anderson on one side and Mitro on the other side, and no defenders. So just let the goals rain in. And
you got the early Anderson assist too. So it was looking promising there. I had Fabianski, so 2-0 was fine with me. I was convinced Fulham were going to score. I was just certain of it. Fulham really something. I don't know. Ranieri's got a massive job ahead of him, doesn't he?
Like he's sure
got
to really,
really think like only put out players who are really going to play together as a team. You know, Andre Schürrle got subbed near the end of that match, and it was like, yes, you got to take him out. As talented as he is, he doesn't fit right now with what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
He was wearing an invisibility cloak of some kind during the middle portion of that match. You just didn't see him.
Yeah, and your beloved Anguissa didn't play, which I know was tough for you.
And as the season goes on, Jean-Michel Seri becomes more and more overhyped as a player. He's just done nothing.
He got subbed too, didn't he? All of the expensive, all of their expensive summer signings. Actually, I think they might both be loanees, those two. But regardless, the players they brought in over the summer were the ones who were getting subbed today. And this maybe this feeling that they're just not really gelling, you know, or they're not. I don't know. I don't want to turn this into the Fulham corner, but it does seem like things are really a mess right there. And certainly wouldn't recommend anyone bring in any of their assets. I mean, I know that people are talking about Callum Chambers as an option, but I mean, what are you going to get from him? Like between 0 and 1 points most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, you're not even going to get the two or three points that you can get from a midfielder who doesn't score.
Well, I'll just say quickly on that, as a Mitro owner, he was almost a must have at the start of the season. He's still a decent price, but you have to stay away from him. The form that they exhibited at home to West Ham, which, as you were saying last week, their defense hasn't been great by any stretch this season. If he can't even get a touch on the ball, it's a huge problem. So it is a shame because Mitro fills this beautiful second striker slot for our teams, and it just feels like he's a big stay away right now.
Yeah, exactly. The whole forward situation is kind of a mess right now. So anyway, I finished on 60 points all told. Fabianski, two other clean sheets in my defense. Jimenez came through. I'm really glad that I went Jimenez over Callum Wilson. And the real benefit of that actually was that because I went Jimenez over Wilson, not only did I get more points for that move, but I also got an extra million. And that million allowed me to go from David Silva to Leroy Sané. And Sané was my transfer this game week. I was debating a lot of very complicated moves. Like I was thinking about burning four to bring in Bernardo Silva and Felipe Anderson. And in the end, I kept it simple, you know, and it was like, what is the most logical move here with an injured David Silva? And it's just Silva to Sané, right? Like, don't overthink it. And it was great. I mean, you know, 10 points from Sané. I mean, you get 10 points from a transfer, you've got to be thrilled. That's just, you know, as good as you can ever really hope for. So that was great. And then I got 3 from Kennedy off the bench. So, 60 total. Some interesting decisions to make next week. The big one for me is whether to start Lucas Dean at home to Spurs. And I think I probably will. I mean, I thought that Lucas Dean was really shined in that in the West Ham match, right? Like he was kind of, I don't know. Just felt like he was like they lost the match, but he kind of came out of it looking as good as anybody on that team.
Well, now he creeps ever closer to that Alonso to Doherty spectrum, where they're fixture proof just based on their attacking output. Throw Robertson and Trent in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like he's in really good form right now. I'm sure his confidence is high after picked up an assist this game week. Could have had 2 assists in the match, and obviously scored the late free kick goal the game week before. So yeah, I think he's definitely on our must. I don't want to say must buy, but he's like a real fantastic option, especially after the Spurs match, because there's just a great run of fixtures coming up for Everton. I mean, like he might rotate with Leighton Baines over the holidays. Like I'm sure Baines gets one start, but what are you going to do? I mean, that's true of any of these players, you know. So
more on Dean, yet further confirmations keep rolling in that always cheating is ahead of the pronunciation game. Our friend Leo pointed out on Twitter that we are saying it correctly as Lucas Dean. So in your face, internet.
The other advantage of Dean is that he's only owned by 4.3% of managers. His price is actually still 0.1 lower than it was when he started the season. He's been getting bought a little bit more recently, but he's still, you know, still definitely a bit of a differential option, even in the top 10,000. So you know, we're going to preview game week 18 in a minute, but I think the biggest question for me right now is who I captain going into game week 18. And right now it's actually on Sané, and I hope he gets a full rest at midweek, but I think Leroy Sané at home to Crystal Palace, I don't know. It feels like that's a pretty kind of an easy captain decision in some ways, yeah. You know, if he doesn't play at midweek.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm looking at Raheem Sterling and Aguero on my side right now, and it will be between the two of them. And that's a captain, vice captain, all on Man City's. And yep.
One of them will play.
The Salah, of course, again, gets the early fixture. So early, it's being played on Friday. Mm-hmm. So that's never fun, even though he did score a hat trick last time. He got the first fixture of the game week. But yeah, I think City, it's City all the way.
I see that as a possible bench opportunity for Salah, too. I wonder if he actually starts that match. Played a lot of minutes recently, so I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Brandon, it's too early to talk about the OSG and Super League. We're recording this right after the Liverpool-Man United match, but I know that Jason Mann, who is currently top in the OSG and Super League, was up to sixth place in the world as of yesterday. So well done, Jason Mann. We're definitely
outstanding, Jason. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And Miroslav Pušek is 13th overall, so really fantastic.
Speaking of competitions, the Super League is chief among them, but game week 17 was the first week of the FPL Cup. I, in classic FPL fashion, lost my first matchup, so I'm out of the cup. How you feel? How did you fare?
I won. I beat a dead team. Did you play a dead team or an active team?
No, I did not play a dead team. I didn't play like a hyper-competitive team, but I did play someone who had Captain Kane, which seemed to be the only... Well, we don't need to re-legislate game week 17, but yeah, he was active and he beat me. So yeah. Congratulations, whoever you are.
I was up 50-5 going into today's match, so I felt pretty good, pretty optimistic about that.
Yeah.
I never take the cup that seriously, though. I mean, you mentioned yesterday that you had won 4 in a row last week. I've never won more than 3, I don't think, in any season ever. I always lose to some dead team.
Yeah, 4 in a row last week was, or last season was incredible. It's at that point where you start, your eyebrow starts to raise a little bit, like, huh, okay, is it on here? And then you realize there are like 15 more weeks to go for you to keep stringing all this good luck together. Yeah, I wonder, mathematically, is it harder to win the cup than it is to become number one in the world?
Like, harder in terms of like, harder probably in the sense that there's so much luck involved, right? Yeah, like it's so... Like in theory, if you just play brilliantly all season, you could finish number one. Even though I guess you need luck. You need luck to finish number one too. So I don't know. That's interesting.
All right, rants of the week, Josh. You said you wanted to speak to this first rant that came from Mike Mulcahy. He rants. I think I have reached the trying too hard phase of FPL managership. 32 all out and lost to a dead team in the cup. Only returns were the Sané assists.
Right. Well, I really felt like I have been there before, you know, like I feel like when I sort of, as we've talked about a lot on the podcast, when I made the move a few weeks ago to bring in Alvaro Morata and David Brooks, and I like, it was like, if you feel like you make, if you make two moves and you feel like you have to go on Twitter and write like a series of tweets explaining your moves and justifying them. Like, which I did when I brought in Morata, like you've officially reached the, I mean, this is obviously like, this is like, you know, this was when he was in the midst of a goal scoring run. Not like, you know, I didn't do this like after like two consecutive, you know, one pointers from, but regardless, when you make those moves, then you feel like you have to go on and like, basically be like, here's my rationale, here's my decision. You may want to rethink those moves, right?
Yeah.
often, like, I feel like anytime I write like a 240 word screed that like explains why I'm doing this move, it like never works out for me.
Yeah. Well, here's FPL in a nutshell. You were in that trying too hard mode, as you were saying, during the Morata phase of this season. And then you bounced out of it by doing very logical, good moves. Lucas Dean, Kane, Aubameyang, and then Sané this week. Aubameyang and Kane have been a little quiet, particularly Aubameyang, since you brought them in. But you have not; you've only gained ground with those moves.
I captained Kane during the during the goal, assist, and 3 bonus point match too. So he's still in my good graces temporarily.
Yeah. And while you were in the Murata phase of your campaign, I was doing well. And now I am sympathizing with Mike because I am trying hard. I'm looking at my last few transfers, Martial in, nothing but blanks. Then Lacazette and Mitrovic, blanks. David Silva, blank. Felipe Anderson and Aguero. So there's one shining light there, and it's a West Ham midfielder. So, right. Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I do think it happens. It's going to happen to you. No one shoots 100% from the free throw line, if I can right. mix my sports metaphors here. So you will have these dips in your season.
I do think that you can, you know, it's a good time to remember that you can make it up really fast. I mean, having just like, it's like you and I are like sort of, it's a kind of, I feel like we've actually gone back and forth a little bit this season, Brandon, in terms of how we've both been sort of doing. And I feel, you know, now we're actually, I think we're separated by 1 point right now. You know, I had fallen all the way back to like 57,000 or something like that. And now I'm up to, I think, 23,000. You're at 22,000. So, you know, it's all good. You know, it's just, yeah. It's like, and both of us obviously want to be, you want to be fixtures in the top 10K, but you just want to end up there. You know, like, you know that you're going to pop back out and back in. I mean, once you get into that top 50,000 in the world, you need to be doing above average every single game week to stay there. And it's just it's almost impossible to stay above average every game week. You know, you're just going to have weeks where things don't come off for you, you know? So I don't know. You can't sweat to any one game week too much.
All right. One last rant comes from Prashant Tiwari. Was watching Chelsea match. Hazard or Barkley had the ball. Or you can envision this in your mind, can't you, Josh? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Suddenly, Alonso gets the ball, Prashant goes on. He gets it at the edge of the box. He unleashes a screamer. And Prashant, he screams himself. He's sitting on his couch and he thinks it's going to go in. Ball hits the post. Couldn't believe his luck. Then 2 minutes later, Brighton scored and Alonso gets a yellow card. That's Prashant's FPL season in 280 words. So yeah, our heart goes out to you. Alonso he's like on 1 week and off the next. So at this point in time.
Yeah. The Alonso, I'm not like part of the Alonso out brigade. I'm happy just to keep picking up those clean sheets. I mean, the fixtures are really good for him in the near future. It's, you know, I don't know. Brighton is like a tough match, you know, it can be a tough match to play, you know, so like, you know, tough to play at the Amex, that is. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't, you know, it wasn't like, I don't know. Like, are you wavering on Alonso at all?
This was the first game week, and I think it speaks more to where I am right now with my team that I started to wobble on Alonso today after the clean sheet wipeout. But I agree. I think I need to be talked off that ledge because, yeah, I don't think it's the best move to make right now. And I challenge someone to submit a rate my team to us on social where we see like a justifiable reason to make 2 million off of Alonso to make a different move. I'm sure there are other ways to make it happen. And the benefits that you'll get from Alonso long-term will be worth holding.
We're still going to play with 7 assists on the season. You know, one goal, I feel like he's hit the post so often this year. And it's kind of reminds me, I think it was like Luis Suarez's second season in the league, maybe his first full season with Liverpool. And I feel like he hit the post like 10 times that year, like the post, the crossbar, so often. And you're like, well, it's just like he's not quite at the top level. Or, you know, he just had some bad luck, you know, or it was just slightly inaccurate or something like that. You know, the next season, he obviously exploded for, you know, 30 goals or whatever it was. And, you know, I feel like Alonso, just the fact that he is getting this close consistently, it's just eventually that's going to go in. You know, he's not going to regress even more, you know. Like he's a player who scored 7 goals last season, six goals the season before. He's in an attacking offense that should allow him to, you know, continue to attack all season. I would expect that goal number to continue to tick up.
I wish that there was a way to automate this online so we could start a game in which you pick a player at the start of the season and whoever hits the post or the crossbar combined most through the season, you win.
Yeah, I don't know. What is Alonso's XG, Brandon? We should, I don't know. Let's look at that. We'll look at that offline.
Let's take that one offline. All right, we have some Patreon thank yous, Josh.
Yep. Patreon thank yous. We have a new Lord Sorlot patron. That's Naraman Imamian. Thank you, Naraman. Four new Mbakani patrons, Brandon. Matthias Broman, Lars Ronningen, Alex Martinez, and James Hayes. Thank you to all of our new patrons.
Yeah, wherever Mbakani is in the world, he's smiling right now, just thinking about these four beautiful new yeah. patrons of yeah. Mbakani. It is December. It's our pledge month. If you have a few shekels in your pocket and want to donate to what we do here at the podcast, helps us pay for our web hosting fees and SoundCloud right. fees. And
justify the time that we spend doing the podcast, yeah, most importantly, maybe.
Yeah, and you can join some new leagues and get swag in the process. Just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, and there are a lot more details there for you to check out.
And just one final note, we are starting a second half league, too, for all our patrons. That'll begin the start of the second half, so game week 20. And you can join either – I'll send out the link starting you know, this week, because you can join. The points won't start coming in until game week 20. But the winner of that league will get to pick anything they want from the Always Cheating shop. So you can have a mug, a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, anything you want. You will get free if you win the second half league.
Outstanding. And speaking of free, we're in the midst of our starting 11 retro kit contest, and that is also available to all of our Patreon subscribers. So thanks to starting 11 for sponsoring that.
All right, Brian, we'll take a quick break and we'll get back to the island of misfit Walcotts. Brandon, we're back. It's the island of misfit Walcotts. Now, this is an interesting group of players, Brandon. These are not the players who are necessarily the Dusan Tadic types, the James Madisons, the players with the incredible underlying stats that, you know, are irresistible to get in, you know, because it looks like, you know, they're not the ones leading the goals imminent table necessarily. There are names, they are names that you've known, and you've probably known them for a long time. You probably had them in your team about 8 to 10 times over the last 5 seasons.
Yep.
And a lot of them are firing right now. It's like it's a great moment for the island of misfit Walcotts. Sadly, this does not include Theo Walcott himself, who is an FPL stay away.
No, it is in honor of a former iteration of Theo Walcott, back when he loved football.
So we're just going to talk about a couple of these, and we've got some questions here about them.
Can we dedicate this section to our friend Danny Bean at the Black Horse, where he was the only one really having a good time because he had De La Feu in his squad, because that's just who Danny is.
Yeah, this section is for the people out there who love to have a player in their team that's owned by less than 2% of the league, right? Yeah, that is like, right. That is, you know, and I can understand that feeling, because I have that feeling sometimes too. That's why I started Pierre-Emile Højbjerg today, and it didn't work out. But it was fun to go into this match thinking like, hey, maybe something could happen here. Maybe, you know,
one of his patented 30-yard shots.
Yeah, he would have come in anyway, because he got subbed in for David Brooks didn't play at all. So, all right, we'll talk about Brooks in a minute, actually. All right, Brandon, first question comes from Red Dagger. It says, Kane, Aubameyang, Aguero, Salah, and Lukaku. Why have any of them when you could have Shaqiri?
Well, it's very interesting that James mentions Lukaku in this sentence. It's perhaps the first or second time that Lukaku has been mentioned on Always Cheating this season.
Yeah, second time in 17 weeks.
Shaqiri is interesting, though. I think when he first started coming on as a sub for Liverpool and performing, I had noted if he starts to become a regular starter, then I think he is absolutely on the table for your FPL squad. So here's the problem. He continues to perform. He continues to look great. He continues to come off of the bench. Right, and this is crazy making for the FPL game. So even though I love the look of him, I love what he brings to the squad, it appears he'll be a big rotation risk during the holidays in particular.
It's a weird one. I mean, he'd actually started, I think, 5 games – 5 games leading up to this match, and then he had been on the bench the 2 before that, and came off the bench today, obviously, too. So 5 out of 8 he started, which is, I guess, kind of exactly what you would expect for a player like him, right? I mean, you know, that doesn't include cup matches or the Champions League. So
I guess we should qualify all of this by saying that during all of these upcoming fixtures, there will be rotation for everyone, but even the consistent guys like Mo Salah. But yeah, you just underline it. A lot of these misfits, you kind of have to underline that rotation risk.
If he were $6 million or cheaper, you would just have him and just have him no matter what, right? Because right. at that price, it's like, you know, Brooks or Kennedy or whatever, where you're just like, well, if you get anything from them, you're happy, yeah. you know? So yeah. if he didn't play, it'd be fine if he got 1 point. But
yeah, I would almost compare him to like a sexier version of Ilkay Gundogan on Man mm-hmm. City, who's a cheap, right. somewhat attacking midfielder on a top four team. But Shaqiri even more so. Gundogan has other jobs to do, where Shaqiri, right. when he's on the pitch for Liverpool, it seems his sole job is to make positive movements with the ball.
Gundogan was so good in that match. If he had so many chances to pick up an assist, yeah. if he'd done, he would have had 2 bonus points for sure. He was really phenomenal. But yeah, in the end, you just see 2 points and you're like, yep, that's what you expect. 5.4 million. I guess Gundo you could kind of put, it's a good comparison. So he's Gundo, but at 1.7 million more, you know, I guess he's a little more attacking than Gundogan, but.
Yeah, I'll tip my hat to that. Yeah, it is too much, even though it's probably exactly the correct price to have him at. So well done, FPL Towers. Yeah.
But just like it's more fun to have. I mean, at 7.1 million, you could have Felipe Anderson or almost right within 0.1 or 0.2. Yeah. You could have Richarlison. You could almost have Gylfi Sigurdsson. I mean, all of these players I would want to have in my squad more than. More than Shaqiri. I mean, it's just like a risk tolerance thing too. Like, I just don't like to have a player that I have to hope that he comes on, or I'm hoping he starts. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just don't like that feeling.
I think it's fair to say that that's not just you. I think that's just good FPL management. I think that's the correct way to judge Shaqiri here. Next question is on Danny Ings. TJ Crane asks, early rant, Southampton forwards Ings and Austin. Did that really just happen today? speaking of their dismantling of the non-Arsenal defense.
Koscielny really was lost
at sea there. Poor guy. I mean,
he was half better a defender.
Better for him to come back from his injury with a more solid central defender next to him that isn't, crazy Swedish. Is Lichtsteiner Swedish or Swiss?
He's Swiss. Yeah.
Yeah. Swiss. This is a crazy Swiss guy.
But then he leaves injured. Bellerin leaves injured. They are missing their top three center backs right now. A 5'10 guy scored 2 headers today, you know, in Danny Ings. Like, it's just not, you know, I mean, the first one was just embarrassing. You know, it was just like, I don't know how to, vintage Koscielny would never get beat on that ball.
No.
You know, it was kind of sad. So I don't really, I mean, the problem with Ings is that he is permanently injured, right? Even when he's healthy, he's injured. He's just constantly almost going to get injured. And I hate having a player like that in my team. They have two great, I mean, they play Huddersfield and West Ham in the next two. So there is some temptation there. You'd probably really want him short term.
Yeah, I think that's correct, because I'll say this in Ings's defense. I had him in my squad earlier in the season, and if you get on and off at the right time, it can work, because I think when he's a form player, so when it's working for Ings, you can trust that results are likely to be there. And then when mm-hmm. the form dips away, it's pretty clear when you need to jump off that train. So yeah, as you say, the fixtures in game week 20 just fall off the cliff with Man right. City and then Chelsea for Southampton.
Yeah. Even Leicester away after that, not a great fixture. So yeah, so maybe in the short term, if you had like a plan, maybe you wanted to, I don't know, like maybe like Jimenez like doesn't quite fit your budget at the moment or something like that. You could bring him in in the short term, but
yeah.
I don't see him as a long-term asset. I honestly just think that he's always just one hard run away from getting injured again.
Let me pose a hypothetical to you. So after this week, Wilson came off the bench, so he's back from his injury, but you might mm-hmm. have some concerns about he's not had good minutes of late, and they right. have Bournemouth, have Spurs and United in game weeks 19 and 20. Is that enough to put you off Wilson and take a punt on Danny Ings, or is that crazy?
No, I think I would want to hold Callum Wilson for the Brighton match. I would expect him to start that. So then you'd only be bringing in Ings for like one fixture, really. you know, before their run gets bad too. So
yeah,
I don't like almost rather just go Kamara in that case.
Yeah, I'm just struggling to see who Ings comes in for in your team. I mean, maybe my situation, it's the most relevant with my concerns that I was talking about earlier with Mitrovic, and that maybe that's a cheaper option for Mitrovic. Fulham look like they're just in really a terrible state. But that said, same argument. Fulham have Newcastle next. Newcastle's defense is not great. They haven't been great at home this season. So yeah, it's just hard to find a slot where you need somebody like Danny Ings. So maybe you mentioned Kamara or success.
Right.
These guys are problems that some teams are dealing with. So Ings is possibly cheap enough if you have enough in the bank to move a risky 4.5 striker to somebody that. Yeah.
But would you want to move Kamara right now? I mean, Newcastle, Wolves, Huddersfield, the next three. I think like Kamara is like a player I would possibly transfer in, you know, instead of getting rid of. I mean, 2 goals in his last 3 matches. I thought he played really well yesterday too. I mean, I don't know if he was like that attacking, but he ran hard. I felt like he was trying in the match.
Yeah, that's what he does offer for Fulham, and that's surely why Ranieri has been playing Kamara as much as he has, is that he brings another dimension. Something like this was Sessegnon in the championship last season, where he offered speed down the wings, and for whatever reason, it's not working for Sess in the Premiership. So I think Kamara, he's got a bigger frame. He can body up with these defenders in the Premier League. That said, I'm still not totally sold on him. You know, we were talking about this with Alex at the Black Horse. I'm coming around to it because it does look like Ranieri does like him and is willing to play him where Djukanovic wasn't. I'm still scared though. Cause you build, like we say, you build all around that 4.5 price tag and it becomes an albatross.
That is true actually. And to be honest, I don't know that I would have Kamara in my team, but I could see how, if you were a team that, if you wanted to have like 3 Man City midfielders across your midfield, you know, and you're just going to play five through the middle all the time. I don't mind him as a third striker that you don't have to play every game week. You know, as like an alternate sort of player, like somebody might come in if one of the Man City midfielders gets rested or something like that.
All right. So are we about to talk about who I think we're about to talk about?
Yeah, that's right. Solomon Rondon. Raborska says Solomon Rondon has produced 7 points per game on average during the last 6 game weeks, 5.8 million and 3.1% ownership. Looks like a good option. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I think it's real. I think Rondon is for real right now. However, you know, there's always a but. The fixtures just explode in a bad way, starting in game week 19 for Newcastle. So, I don't know. I think it's that conundrum of the Jimenez conundrum of maybe you don't rate this player. Maybe you don't rate their skills. Maybe you don't really rate the team. But the FPL price tag versus the points that have been coming in can justify a move in any circumstance. And Rondon is definitely tiptoeing around that. Like at 5.8 and all those stats that you just mentioned, I could see worse plays.
He's looked really good the last few game weeks. I mean, I'm like fairly sold on Rondon. I mean, you know, it's – his fixtures, he's had a really good run of fixtures and he's produced during those fixtures. They have one, arguably two good left over the festive period. They play Fulham at home in game week 18. Great, great fixture to have Rondon for. Then it's Liverpool away, Chelsea away, Man United at home in 3 of the next 4. They get a little break with Cardiff in game week 23, and then it's Man City and Spurs. So, they've basically every difficult team that you can play in the league, they play over the next, you know, 8 game weeks. So it's kind of like, I wonder if even, I think it's possible to rate Rondon and also feel like you've missed your chance a little bit, you know, like it's, if you don't have him now, you probably don't want to bring him in because I just don't know that I see a ton of points in like a Liverpool away match, Chelsea away match, Man United at home, maybe Man United at home. I guess that one's not as scary as it used to be, but, not just not a great run, fixtures coming up. And especially if you don't have Jimenez already, right? I mean, Jimenez to me is the premier option in this price bracket.
All right, Danny has asked us to talk about how great Jerry D is, Gerard De La Feu. Watford's fixtures through game week 22 are pretty good. Away to West Ham, then Chelsea, Newcastle, both at home, Bournemouth and Palace. I feel like you have had De La Feu in your team historically much more than I have. You had him for a really good run at Everton, yeah.
Yeah, that was like he was playing like as a forward out of position. I think it's like when Ronald Koeman was there, maybe he was like a pretty decent option.
Back when Martinez was manager, perhaps.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He like loses his place in the squad sometimes. I don't know that he like tracks back really well. I think that I think he's a pretty one dimensional player.
There's a touch of Mesut Ozil about him in that.
Yeah,
sense.
Which that one dimensionality, if that's a word. Is fine for fantasy as long as they continue to start. And the problem with one-dimensional players is that they tend to lose their spot in the team because you can't trust them. I mean, look at the last four game weeks for him, 56 minutes, 54 minutes, 27 minutes, and 30 minutes. So, you know, it's not like this guy has been just, you know, tearing it up, playing 90 minutes game week in and out. I mean, honestly, it's amazing that Danny still had him because he scored 1.4 game weeks in a row. And then to get 13 this game week is like, that's like Eden Hazard levels of trolling, right? Like no one was still holding on to him at that point.
No.
You know, so the ownership is at 0.6% right now. De La Feu is not a player that I want. He's not a player that I like. I just don't enjoy him as a player. I don't like his haircut. You know,
what it do you think? It goes deep for you. Okay.
It does.
I think I like him more than you. The potential is there. And you mentioned at the top of this segment, this is Theo Walcott. Theo Walcott owns this segment. Dusan Tadic does not. But I would liken De La Feu to Tadic in an FPL sense in that every time I watch him play, I see the upside. I always tended to see the upside with Tadic. But I have zero confidence that I'll get anything out of him and my team. So the spot that he would occupy would be a Ryan Fraser spot. So if, say, Fraser comes down with an injury in your team, then, yeah, I think De La Feu would be on my short list. That said, there is no way I would be actively pursuing him. But if you have an opportunity, if you have an open slot, I think the fixtures do allow this move to make sense.
Yeah,
but,
I think
that said, sorry, wow. it just occurred to me. Jonty's voice was in my head that Pereira might be the actual Watford midfielder that you would want to go for if that opportunity does present itself.
That's true. And he's less of a misfit, more of a, I don't know, he's been like pure potential for so long, you know, like I guess it's only his third season in the league, but you know, he's just had such bad luck with injuries the last couple of years that I feel like we don't really know what kind of player he can be, you know, but I mean, I think so far this season he's on, what is it? It's like 5 goals maybe. Yeah, 5 goals and 2 assists. So, I mean, if you ended the season with 10 goals and 4 assists, that's a pretty fantastic return for a, you know, 6 million midfielder. So, I'm with you there. Decore is another one. Like, poor Decore, who, like, never gets any talk in the podcast.
The flip side, Pereira with 5 goals, 2 assists. Decore with 2 goals and 5 assists. And that's 3 attacking returns and 3 for this guy. But he lives on the Etienne Capoue island of misfit toys.
He does. Like, you know, they can't keep this up.
Hyper unsustainable. Is, you
know. Yeah. All right. I have 2 more here, Brendan. These aren't even questions we got. These are just questions I want to ask you.
Okay.
The first one is about Robert Snodgrass. Is the snod God, Brendan? The snod is God.
Yeah. Our friend Guy, he basically sucks up all the Snodgrass oxygen in the room. So I feel like I never have to talk about him. But, and I've been slightly skeptical of him. He's had trouble ever since he made that move from Hull to West Ham. He's had trouble sort of making it stick. Yeah. But yeah,
had
this
a knee
last
injury last year.
Yep. I'm good I'm happy with Snodgrass. The question would be, as I was talking about that particular hole that might exist in your FPL team, a Bournemouth midfielder-sized hole, Snodgrass is right there with De La Feu, and I suppose you could talk about what makes Snodgrass more appealing, the set pieces. Also, just he's probably more locked into the side, less prone to just falling in and out mentally in matches.
Yep.
So yeah,
I like his. Yeah, I don't think he has to run quite as much as some of the other players in the team. So I think he's probably likely to get. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets minutes in every single one of these holiday fixtures. Just given his set piece threat, you know, he's the kind of player you could bring on for 20 minutes at the end of a match too. Brandon, I like him so much. I'm actually almost barring any major injuries during the like League Cup matches at midweek, there's a very good chance that he's going to make my team this week. And yeah, I'm going to bring him in for either Kennedy or Brooks. And just
wow, friendo.
I know which underperforming midfielder has to go. I think probably Kennedy. Kennedy's flagged right now. I don't really want to move him before the Fulham match, but I don't know. They both have to go. I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, Brooks didn't even get a minute in yesterday's match. And
that's worrying. Yeah.
Yeah. He played 61, 64, and 18 in the last three matches before that. So it's not like I don't think he's, you know, valuable to this team, but I wonder if maybe Junior Stanislaw is kind of taking his spot at the time being. I don't know. I'm a little worried about whether I can actually keep Brooks. And Brooks is also a little more expensive. So, you know, if I have to move one of the two, I guess I'd rather move the more expensive option.
You could, in Brooks's defense, say that Bournemouth looked pretty appalling against Wolves this weekend. And maybe it's just that Callum Wilson was missing and that throws off the team shape, or they're just missing their best attacking player in that sense. And maybe that's why Brooks didn't come into the picture. But it seems they were missing something.
Yeah, maybe it was Brooks. I don't know.
Could have been.
He almost scored last week too. So yeah, I don't know. Brandon, then we have one. We have one actual question here, and then one question about Hazard. Hazard, the ultimate high performing expensive misfit. You know, probably too good really to get the Theo Walcott designation. But I mean, it is crazy, like just how much he trolls FPL managers, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's so frustrating. And I think I'm just done with him. I don't know that he'll ever be in my team again. I just can't, I can't deal with the weeks and weeks of nothing, you know? And I saw some people on Twitter, who were like, well, just keep him for 38 game weeks, you know, and you'll end up with all the points. But I mean, in theory, you want to jump on and jump off, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, you want to get him during a hot run, and then when he's cold, you bring in somebody else, and then you bring him back in again, yeah. You know. Yeah. But I feel like personally, I can never quite get the timing right, you know. I mean, I had returns of 1-0-4-3-1 before I dropped him, you know, and now he's, you know, right back in it. You know, was it 5 assists and 1 goal in the last 4 matches. I mean, it's so frustrating with him.
Yeah, he moves into the top slot. I mean, I think I was chanting scoreboard during last week's podcast talking about Mo Salah. Like, how can you not consider this guy even at 13 million when he's coming off a hat trick and has the most points in the game? Well, I guess you have the most points in the game when you score hat tricks, but
right.
Hazard and Salah are in that same question of, are they worth the money? I think the thing that is in Salah's favor is that we can look to last season and we can generally look at the first half of this season and see a consistent pattern. And the issue, as you were raising with Hazard, is the only consistent pattern we can see with him is what we see at the end of the season, when we can't chart a proper course with him through a season. And that's really what playing the game is, right? You're making strategic transfers. You're changing the personnel on your team. And Hazard is just a guy that's going to throw out more walls than open more doors.
Yeah. 11 million. It's tricky. I mean, you know, cause Alonso to me actually is in that season keeper category, but you know, he's expensive, but he's not, he doesn't ruin your team shape, you know? I mean, yeah. Especially if you bought him cheap. I mean, my sell-on value for Alonso right now is $6.7 million, right? So I think he's at $7 million right now. So I bought him at $6.5. He's just a season keeper. I just hold on to him the entire season, and I'm going to get those four or five goals. I'm going to get, you know, probably, I mean, he's on 7 assists already, probably double-digit assists. And then the clean sheets, which I think people are really underrating, you know, I mean, it's, you know, 2 clean sheets in the last 4 for him. He's got, you know, 8 clean sheets in the season already. Eight clean sheets in 17 is nothing to just wave away. You know, and I know that there's like a real movement right now to move from Alonso to Luis, but I mean, again, Luis is 1 goal and no assists, right? I mean, yeah. he scored one header that really with better defending shouldn't have been scored at all.
Yeah.
Wide open box, you know, just poor marking there. So
if you love Chelsea clean sheets that much, then stay with Alonso. Otherwise, I would be wanting to save more money and go to a different team. And lest we forget, Joshua, it is the year of the fullback.
So, that's true. It's the year of the fullback. It's also the clean sheets are dead, Brandon. So it's both, really.
Yeah, we're having a lot of different years
going on this year. I know there's a lot of I know we got to like riddle this down somewhere. All right, final question about Bournemouth assets. Tom Campbell says, "What are we saying for Bournemouth assets regarding Wilson, Fraser, and Brooks? 1 win in 7 with Spurs, Man United, and Everton all away in 3 of the next 5." Brighton at home next, worth keeping for that fixture before offloading, even if you have a ton of value tied up. So we talked about Brooks and Wilson a little bit already. I think Fraser is the more interesting option here, especially because a lot of people got Fraser at $5.5 million, as I think you did.
Yes.
So how are you feeling about Bournemouth right now?
I don't feel great about it. Yeah, I think the key word with Fraser is value. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just team value that I'm concerned about more than I'm concerned about value of that third, fourth midfielder slot, because I think Bournemouth are bound to have some difficulty with these holiday fixtures. There are some tough ones, but it's kind of going back to what we were saying about Hazard and through the course of 38 weeks. Fraser right now is striking me as a player that you could hold for 38 weeks, and at the end of the season, you could point to his final tally and say it was justified and it will work out for you, because you can, at that price, you can build around him, you can make moves around him, you can find other goal and assist tallies during downtimes around Fraser and not dump him. So I think that's how I'm justifying keeping him, because this is what separates, you know, number one in the world from me, is they'll move Fraser to De La Feu during the right weeks. It will work. And then they'll jump onto something else. I don't really have enough faith in myself right now to do, to jump around in that price bracket and get it right every week. I just don't think it's going to happen. So Fraser, if you compare him to De La Feu, as we were saying, his form is going to fall away. And what are you left with? I think Fraser's form will not fall away, and I think we'll still be getting attacking returns from him later in the season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, he definitely passes the eye test still. His stats are also fantastic. You know, I guess the concern, you know, it's 1 goal and 2 assists in the last 7 matches for him. But there aren't a lot of better options. I mean, there's just not a lot of, there's not like, you know, the one player you'd move him to, maybe Snodgrass, right? I guess Snodgrass is the one, given the West Ham good fixtures, given that he's in good form. But outside of him, I'm just not looking around and seeing a ton of midfielders for under $6 million that are just must own, like, got to get this guy on my team assets, right? I mean,
yeah,
you have Perea, but I mean, I'd rather have Fraser than Perea. You know, there's Pedro, but Pedro is, you know, a bit of a rotation threat. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Solly March, like Goodmanson, these players aren't appealing to me, you know, Townsend, Theo Walcott himself.
The man himself, it's about time he worked his way into his own future. Yeah. It's just like I'd say, like if you have the Back to the Future car and you can go get that sports almanac from this season, then you can perhaps figure out which sub $6 million midfielder is going to be performing every week. Otherwise, I think you go with the steady Eddie, which is Fraser.
All right, Brendan. So I think in summation, Eden Hazard is a troll. Let's take a break. We'll move on to our lightning round in a second.
Josh, we love Starting 11. Starting 11, it's the live Premier League fantasy app for your iPhone or Android phone, in which you can play a game that we all know and love, and that's Fantasy Premier League, but you can play it for cash prizes. The beauty is also, I don't have to deal with my crap team that I suffered through game week 17 with. Anytime there are two or more Premier League fixtures, you can start from scratch, set up a best 11-man squad with no budgetary restrictions. Starting 11 lets you tinker with your lineup right up until kickoff, even after those team sheets are announced. You can also make three live in-game substitutions as the games are taking place.
So, Brendan, I imagine some kind of live daily fantasy app like this, I need to go to a university, get in some kind of supercomputer or something like that. I imagine it's got to be thousands of dollars, right, just to even load up the software that will allow this thing to operate.
You would think, Josh, but your supercomputer is in your pocket or the palm of your hand. Yes, it is just your iPhone or your Android. You can download the app for free if it's on your iPhone. Just go to the Apple App Store, whatever it is they call it these days, or the Google Play Store for your Android. If you have an iPhone, you can play cash games live in the UK, US, Canada, or Germany. And in the UK, if you have an Android, you can now play cash games or just play for free anywhere in the world. And mini leagues are now a huge feature for Starting 11. You can join pre-existing mini leagues, start mini leagues with your friends, and play for cash or just for bragging rights that way.
Brendan, you said it all. Visit starting11.io to learn more, sign up, and win some money. Okay, Brendan, we're back. Lightning round time. As you know, Brendan, we have very firm rules about this lightning round, okay? We've never broken these rules. Very tight, firm rules. We never go longer than 30 seconds with the answer to any of these questions.
May lightning strike me down dead during this lightning round if we break these rules.
Exactly. FPL Strong says, if there was no salary cap, who would be the most essential players? Just give them 30.
FPL Strong was listening to our Starting 11 ad read just now. most essential players, the top 30 that come to mind. This is a tough one. I mean, based on right now, I think you have to look at the Manchester midfield in Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling.
If you just had to have one player right now, I mean, is it crazy to say that Leroy Sané might be the most the most valuable player in FPL over the holiday fixtures? I mean, especially if he gets rested in midweek. Palace, yeah. Leicester, Southampton, the next three. I don't know. He's like really important to that team. They need him to play a lot. He's been really active. Scores goals, picks up assists. I don't know. I mean, Sterling's up there too, but you know, Sonny is 2 million cheaper than Sterling. So, if price is a consideration, then maybe Sterling's, an option there too. So, obviously we can't run through every essential player. We really basically did that on last week's podcast.
I think that's a good place to leave the conversation in, and I'll help you leave it there because I'm a Sterling owner and you're a Sané owner, and I still agree with you. I think Leroy Sané is the guy, and you can see the plan P, the lip sync, the peptation, whatever you want to call it. He can rest Sterling. And granted, Sterling can come off the bench and score a beautiful goal for you, but he has not shown that he is willing to not start Sané. He's willing to take Sané off after the result is locked in at the 65th minute.
Interesting comment in the press conference after the game was over. Pep said that Sané played so well in the Champions League at midweek that he deserved to start on Saturday. Which I thought was kind of an interesting, I don't know that I felt like it was an interesting insight into Pep's rotation. He was basically like, you earned it, you've earned this start. And I thought he was a little more merciless than that. I thought his approach was more like, it's all the, it's just team, no matter what. But this idea that like you deserve to play in this match where you could pick up goals and assists, because you did so well in the week. So
I think that Sané being a young player, and you can see that sometimes he gets a little emotional or in ways that he gets heated or he just falls mentally out of the game. So I think that that's interesting that Pep is actually managing him emotionally, for lack of a better word, I believe.
That's true. Maybe for someone like Aguero, it wouldn't matter as much. Aguero scores a brace in midweek, but, you know, he's 30 years old. He's, you know, been with the team for years and years, assured of his spot. You know, maybe you rest him, and that's totally fine because he understands how central he is to that team. All right, Vinyl Richie, our old friend Vinyl Richie says, Kane and Aubameyang, if you had to get rid of one to distribute funds back into the midfield, who would you sell?
Aubameyang. Do I have to add any commentary? I'll say this. Kane is going to frustrate, but he is going to tick through the end of the year. He is going to tick along. He's a little more expensive, but he is not getting rotated. Aubameyang, I mean, you saw against Southampton. Arsenal are a great squad. They just ended an insane winning streak or lossless streak. But still, they're a weird side. They're going to have problems, and there is competition with Lacazette.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the fact that Aubameyang is a million cheaper is, you know, like it's more tempting to hold on to him and drop Kane. Mm-hmm. But they have a couple of really good home fixtures coming up too. Arsenal do, but I think I'm with you there. I think I would keep Kane as well. Aubameyang. Okay, so let's say you move one of those. Who would you move them to? I guess you're looking in that 6 million bracket. You know, some kind
If you want to move the funds into the midfield, right? Yeah, I think you do look at. If you can wait a little bit, you can move to Callum Wilson. Closer to January 1. But, yeah, Mitro has decent fixtures, but I think I said emphatically at the start of this podcast, no Mitro. Do not bring him in. We talked about some decent budget options like Solomon Rondon or Danny Ings or Jimenez if you don't have him. Roberto Firmino, I thought he was starting to look like his old last season self today against Manchester United. And you're not going to save a whole lot moving Aubameyang to Firmino, but if he's going to continue to improve his form, I see a lot of points coming for him.
Yeah. I mean, 2.4 million is the difference. It's pretty significant.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough money to upgrade Gylfi Sigurdsson to Leroy Sané, you know, for example. So,
I like that move.
Me too. I don't know if he has any of those combination of players in his team, but if he does, then that's the move.
It's magic. That's the magic of the Always Cheating podcast, if that's true.
George Hanton says, thoughts on going budget up front and stacking the midfield. I'm steadily climbing the work league and I've gained a couple spots this weekend, so I'm looking to continue the decent run. Again, I feel like something that we've talked about in previous podcasts. I don't know. It's just like we're big hauls from Aubameyang and Kane were just happened a couple of weeks ago, you know, and there's an explosiveness to having at least one expensive attacker that really appeals to me, you know, like it's so easy for them to get, especially someone like Kane who's on penalties. It's just so easy for him to get points.
Yeah.
You know, just one mistake, you know, one corner in a match, you know, where I feel like a midfielder has to work so much harder to get points. Like so many things have to fall, you know, into place for them to pick up a goal in particular, maybe an assist lesson. Yeah.
I will answer George's question with another question, which is from Jeff Petter on our Slack, who asks, is some patience required? It seems that lots of week-to-week moves are being made at the moment. Aguero to Abba, Kane to Aguero, Hazard in, Sterling out, Hazard out, Sterling in, etc. Huge congestion of fixtures coming up. Do we need to take a step back and evaluate our squads with a wider lens? So I think Jeff is making a good point about patience in that it can be frustrating looking at the game week in a vacuum, like, oh man, I've got all this money tied up front. I mean, just, you know, you were able to celebrate Josh on a Kane captaincy that he came away with an assist at the end of Saturday's match. But you still probably feel like you want to be getting more out of both Kane and Aubameyang up front.
That was just a weird match because they were resting all of their I mean, that was just like, you know, without Erickson, Kane is a lot less valuable. I mean, we saw as soon as Erickson's on the pitch, Kane is suddenly a fantastic fantasy asset again.
Yeah. So I guess my point is don't get too frustrated after a couple of bum game weeks and go blowing up your front line.
Yep. Are you talking about yourself or are you talking about George Hanton now, Brandon?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Jack Newman says, Kane, how long do you hold him before you get frustrated by his lack of goals and mega point returns? So this ties in with what we just talked about. I am fine. I actually think that he is a very decent captain option this game week. I would definitely consider him as a captain for the Everton away match. I actually like him a little better in away matches right now.
Yeah. No, I think Kane is a perfect striker for the fixture congestion because, as I was saying earlier, he's not going to rotate at all. And I think he'll tick along and he'll probably have a match in there in which he hauls, even though I still haven't picked him up and I've tried to do everything in my power to avoid him. And I still think he, you know, everything we've said earlier in the season is true, that he's just not quite the same Kane yet. And will it ever come back? I don't know. So I don't love Kane's form. I don't love Spurs' form. But if you have him, you've got to hold him because he's probably the best striker option for the holidays.
Yeah, and six of his nine goals have been scored. Six of his nine goals in the Premier League, at least, have been scored in away matches so far this season. So I think that sometimes he gets teams like really just kind of. I mean, we saw this with Burnley yesterday, right? I mean, they're just absolute. They were not interested in trying to win that match, right? It was all about trying to get a point, you know, from a 0-0 draw. I mean, two time-wasting yellow cards. So, I mean, obviously, in a match like that, it's going to be hard for Kane, especially when you've got Eric Lamella doing his Lamella thing, which is I don't even know what it was. Like, he was playing by himself. It was like he was playing video games while the other team, 10 team. I can't be rational about Lamella. I don't know why I don't like him so much. I mean, are you, what do you think about Lamella? Am I just like totally off base here? Like, do you, are you a fan?
I'm not a hater.
You like him.
I can see the good in him. However, I could see that he was not having a great game against Burnley, but I just don't think Spurs lack that fulcrum, that Eriksen type of attacking fulcrum. And I don't think that that helps Lamella. I don't think he's the type of player that can do it on his own. He looks his best when that team is in transition, when they're counterattacking, not when they're building up. So I don't think that the game plan played to his strengths.
Yeah. Lucas Moura is someone who I trust a little more to create a shot for himself. Kind of works. You know, I think actually he's, you know, I know he fell off a little bit, but he fits. I'd be interesting. I feel like Lucas Moura and Eriksen haven't played a ton together this season, you know, just because of Eriksen's injuries. And it'd be interesting to see how they play together. Like, if you had, well, with Son too, it's sort of, and then Son got rested and he's leaving, you know, I think, is it after game week 22 that Son leaves?
They're about for the Asian games. Yeah.
For the Asian Cup, I think this time. Games are over, Brandon. It's time for the Cup.
No more games. This is serious business.
All right, final question. Steak Hagen says, should Alonso go sideways to Luis or Azpilicueta to free up cash? I've already weighed in on Alonso. What do you think?
I mean, Azpilicueta is the more intriguing way to approach this than David Luis because Azpilicueta is just a bonus point magnet. So if you believe those clean sheets are going to come in, I think there's just a bigger upside moving Alonso to Azpilicueta, but you're barely saving any money that way. So what's the point? Right. You're giving up the Alonso goals, free kicks, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I'll stand by what I said earlier. If you're looking to get rid of Alonso, go to another team because then go Dean. If you're dumping Alonso, you don't believe in Chelsea, I believe. So
dump Alonso for the poor man's Alonso, not for a almost as expensive version who doesn't. I mean, Alonso has 29 more points in the season than Azpilicueta. That is remarkable. I mean, considering how much they both play together and how much of a, as you said, bonus point magnet Azpilicueta is. I mean, that's how much attacking threat Alonso has. So, Brandon, all right, those are our questions. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about game week 18 and 19 a little bit. So let's start off with game week 18. First match is Wolves-Liverpool on Friday. We've got a whole slate of Saturday matches, which I am not sure how much I'll be able to watch. I'm going to my mom's house, taking the family down to Florida. So I did check. I made sure she had, I don't know why, like in 2018, I was worried about this, but I was like, you do have internet, right, Mom? I don't know.
What about
I don't
plumbing? Think she What's has the plumbing situation?
Yeah, I don't think she has cable, so I don't know that I'll be watching like the game. I'm going to be like on my computer, but I'm going to try to be cool because we get in the night before. So everyone who's listening probably knows how this is, right? It's very tricky to watch all of these matches during the holidays while still being like a normal person who.
So here's the thing in America, family. In America, NFL is baked into the Thanksgiving holiday, and you just have the NFL on TV all day, and people come and go, and they don't think anything of it. As Americans during Christmas, the general holiday season, you go visit your family. You can't just have the Premier League on because then you're just inviting awkward conversation from your, you know, uncle from West Michigan who is like, what is this? Can they use their hands? Why are you forcing us to watch this? Just being discreet is sort of the name of the game.
So in these matches, we actually have one on the 23rd on that Sunday too. We got Everton Spurs. So, where are you looking? So you got your bus team all set up. Yeah. Who is your captain right now on your bus team?
Yeah, right now my captain it's an honorary captaincy for Sergio Aguero, who didn't make an appearance this past game week, but, definitely curious to see what the lineup is for the Carabao Cup fixture. I try to figure out what the best case scenario is for an Aguero captaincy. Is it Aguero starting and playing 60 minutes? Mm-hmm. It's probably not Aguero playing 90 minutes. However, I just can't see Pep playing him a full 90 coming back from this injury. So I don't see that happening. Yep. So maybe, I think the best case scenario is Jesus gets the start. And Aguero comes in and gets his legs for 30 minutes, and then he starts on the weekend. If that happens, then I'm going to go Aguero captain. If that doesn't happen, if there's any sort of lingering doubt, then it'll be Sterling captain. But I'm all Man City for game week 18.
What happens if Sterling and Aguero both play 90 minutes at midweek?
I think I'll still go Sterling because Raheem Sterling is still one of their best players. I mean, they're a team of amazing players, but he's still one of their best attacking players. He has been getting rested. And I don't mm-hmm. think he's a one game on, one game off type of player for Pep. He didn't start in game week 17. So I think he's good. I think he's good to start midweek and the weekend. I wouldn't be concerned about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I was surprised he didn't start at the weekend, really. But I guess when you've got someone like Maria Mahrez now, who is a very capable Sterling replacement, you have the luxury of not playing him as much. So, I agree with you. I think that he would start in both those matches. It'd be weird for him to be benched twice in a row in the Premier League.
Yep.
Right now, I'm leaning towards Leroy Sané, as I mentioned earlier on the podcast. If he played 90 minutes in the League Cup, I would not captain him, right? Because then he'd be almost certain to be rested at the weekend.
Yeah, right.
But if he doesn't play, if he doesn't start, or if he, you know, is subbed down for 20 minutes, 30 minutes in the match, then I really like him as a captain this game week. What about some other options? We have Arsenal, Burnley. That's the early match on. I mean, what about Liverpool, right? I mean, it's a Friday match, which is kind of tricky. Yeah. Wolverhampton, I mean, I know they just kept a clean sheet, but in general, they've been pretty leaky at home. Pretty leaky in general.
Yeah, you have the camera during the Liverpool-Manchester United match panning down the Liverpool bench, and you see Daniel Sturridge just sitting there, and you're reminded, like, oh, if Klopp really wants to just roll with a different shape, he could start Sturridge in a match like this away to Wolverhampton, knowing that he wants to push Salah a little harder, looking at the Boxing Day and New Year's fixtures. So yeah. I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared just in terms of the captaincy. I have no doubt about starting Salah in my FPL team. I'm not even thinking of moving him anywhere. But I'm not too keen on Liverpool.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't even mind if he didn't start, because if he was rested for this Wolves game, then I would expect him to start in game week 19, and that's when Liverpool play Newcastle at home, and I would love to captain him for that match.
Yeah.
So just, you know, one more thing to consider there. By the way, Spurs also play Bournemouth at home in game week 19. I mean, that second goal that Wolves scored, I don't know. We were watching it at the bar yesterday, but then I was watching the highlights again last night, and just the sight of Charlie Daniels running and trying to catch up with Ivan Caballero as he scored that goal. I mean, that Bournemouth defense is bad. Like, so it is bad. Old and bad, and it's like it is not pretty, and I don't see it getting a lot better anytime soon, and that was the concern going into this season. He's like, can they stay up with a defense this bad? And I mean, Jefferson Lerma, I think, has, you know, helped them a lot, but I don't see them going down, but no. I do think that anytime you play the Bournemouth defense now, you have a captainable fixture in front of you.
Yeah, so what you're saying is Glenn Murray in game week 18. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying triple captain Glenn Murray in game week 18. It's the only move I would consider.
Yeah. So Man City, yes. Liverpool, kind of nah. The other big teams here would be Arsenal hosting Burnley, who just suck right now, and Chelsea. If you have Hazard, is that a differential captain at home to Leicester?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, especially if this false nine thing continues, then yeah. I mean, he's like an out of position forward, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. I hate that guy.
I think I kind of like
him as a player, but it's frustrating.
It's a tough choice. Like, if you had Aubameyang and Hazard, it'd be tough to pick who gets the armband against Leicester or Burnley.
Yeah, if you didn't have any Man City players. I guess I like – I do like a bunch. I don't know. I mean, Burnley can't do what they did last week again, can they? I mean, like, they have to start winning some matches. Like, what a luxury to play for a draw in that Spurs match, right? Like, they're doing so well this year that they don't need to get 3 points in a match.
Those are matches that they would absolutely be targeting for draws. So
I feel like the game plan should have changed once they saw that you know, a lot of players were not starting that match, right? I mean, you had Ben Davis as an odd position center back. You had Eriksen rested. You had Son rested. Like, I see that lineup, and I'm trying to win the match, you know, instead of just draw it.
I don't know. I mean, I think my tactic, if I'm Sean Dyche, is you just grab the ball and you run out of the stadium. And
because that has to be the worst. Is there? I don't know. I've never played professional football, obviously, but the worst feeling must be to spend 90 minutes playing for a draw, right? To use every delaying tactic you can, right? Like, you know, get 2 yellow cards for time wasting, and then still lose in the 91st minute.
Yeah.
And you're like, what was the point of all that? Like, our negative football, like, we still didn't win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if they do it again. I guess my point is, like, do they do that again at Arsenal? Do they just go there, kick the ball around, try not to lose? I guess it depends on whether Arsenal can score an early goal. But, I mean, I don't mind Aubameyang as a captain pick. I thought he was very attacking in this match. I thought maybe I actually just think that he was defended pretty well. I thought Southampton defended him pretty well in this match.
Yep. Yep, yep, I agree. Romeo was just, like, abysmal for Southampton in that match. A terrible player. But then you mentioned Spurs earlier. I mean, that would be a lot of fun if everyone blanks on Saturday and then you've got a Kane captaincy heading into Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a lot of fun. I still think I'm going to go with Sané, but Kane would be a lot of fun too. I still feel like Kane is a bit of a differential just having him in my team. Maybe that's not as true as it used to be, but it's not like he's still not one of the 10 most owned players in the league, is he? I mean, I feel like his ownership is still, I don't know. I don't have like a ranking of most owned players or anything like that, but I don't think that he's like in the top, you know, absolute top.
Yeah, just 31% ownership. Just if you're looking at the FPL page stats, which, you know, for seasons past, it's quite low for a player like with the history of Harry Kane.
Exactly. So 31%. I mean, like you said, pretty low. I mean, he's barely more owned than one Bissaka. So, you know, definitely still a little bit of a differential just having him in your team. So, anything else you want to talk about in these matches? Like anything, I guess focused on game week 18 for a minute here. Like,
FPL fixture is going to be West Ham v Watford. And that's sort of the, going back to our earlier theme, Walcott's Island of Misfit Toys. This is a huge Misfit Toy attacking fixture. Not to mention a decent fixture to roll out the Belbuenas and the Fabianskis of the world. But sure. There's a huge upside here for Watford owners if you've got Pereira or De La Feu. It'll just be a fun one. Thought that West Ham Fulham was going to be fun, and that was probably the worst time I've ever had watching a football match.
It feels like Watford have played like some kind of heartbreakers recently, doesn't it? Like, they are, I mean, not even heartbreakers, but just like wild, high scoring matches.
Oh yeah, losing to Cardiff with what a weird team. Am I talking about Watford or Cardiff? I'm talking about both of them.
Yeah, they're both weird teams. Everton Watford before that was the 2-2 draw. They almost took a point off Man City, and then the 2-1 loss before that. They're kind of all over the place, but they've also kept some clean sheets in between. It's a hard team to get a read on, you know? And then of course, I mean, the ultimate Watford goal was the second goal that was scored in that match, a SEMA goal. I mean, it was just like so perfect. Like every year Watford have like, just like a collection of players you've really never heard of it.
It was actually a Kina goal with a SEMA assist. So what a goal to be scored by a guy you've never heard of before, and then assisted by yet another guy you've never heard of before.
I guess we've got to consider quinoa, right? Because he is 4.4. So it's not only is it healthy, but it's also 4.4 million.
A great healthy grain just became a great healthy FPL asset.
That's right. Quinoa's only 4.4 million. So I don't know anything about quinoa. I was joking the first time I said quinoa, but it's a hard name to say without saying quinoa. So Kina at 4.4 million, maybe one to consider. Maybe he's a future Hoiberg replacement for me.
Yeah. I've got to say, I'm not encouraged by the lower mid-table matchups. Like Bournemouth, Brighton, I do feel like that's going to be a tough match for Bournemouth because Brighton's defense can be quite stout and they'll be playing on the road. Then you look at Huddersfield, Southampton. Huddersfield have had decent results of late. They've shown that they can play an organized shape. They can hold teams to a few goals when they can, and they'll have to given that Aaron Moy is out. So this will really test our mettle in terms of bigging up Danny Ings. I'm not convinced that Southampton will just have their way with Huddersfield.
No, I agree with you there. I see that as like a 1-1 draw or something like that. And then Everton Spurs, which is a really interesting match. I think a great standalone match for Sunday. I have no idea if I'll actually be able to watch this match. But I am looking forward to secretly watching it on my phone like 8 hours later when everybody else has gone to sleep.
Yeah. I think that's game week 18 wrapped. Clean sheets. In case you haven't heard, clean sheets are dead, so there won't be any of them.
Game week 19. So we've got 9 Boxing Day fixtures. I'm really looking forward to these matches, Brandon. 9 in a day. It's so much. It's so great. So, what are you most excited about? It's got to be Fulham Wolves, right?
Yeah, Fulham Wolves. Hopefully, I'm sure just give them a week and Fulham will get their act together and have an exacting game plan, and they'll just win the rest of their matches for the rest of the season. I'll be excited for this game because Fulham could potentially get a result, but also if they don't, it'll be a good day for my FPL side because I will roll out 3 Wolves players.
Yeah, same here for sure. I'm glad Nainza that Jimenez got that rest. I hope that was enough. I know that they wanted his minutes a little bit. I think he gets fatigued. I think he does a little more running than a lot of forwards do, and so I think that he wears down a little bit. So I wouldn't be shocked if he got rested one of these fixtures over the holidays. But
yeah,
hopefully it's not that
one. It's the running combined with the holdup. Like he has a slight frame, but he has to be strong the way he plays. So yeah, I can see how it is exhausting. Just exhausting generally to be Jimenez. Good for you.
Yeah, Liverpool, Newcastle, a lot of captainable fixtures here. I mean, you have Man City away to Leicester. I think that any Man City player that was rested in game week 18 will then become a very viable captain option for game week 19.
Yep.
Spurs at home to Bournemouth, even Arsenal away to Brighton, Chelsea, Watford. I think this could be – game week 19 could be another one of those very swingy game weeks where you could see – a wide range of scores, depending on who you captain that game week.
I'm looking to save my transfer going into game week 18. And I think that will just be, you've talked about this, how having two frees can just cause you to overthink your transfers, but I'm hoping it'll work to my advantage to be able to look at those rotations that are happening in game week 18 to inform who's going to start on Boxing Day.
Yeah. I am almost definitely going to move Brooks or Kennedy to Snodgrass, as I mentioned before. I missed one Snodgrass price rise, and I was okay with that. I'm hoping because he rose early that he doesn't rise a second time. If he does, I'm probably just going to have to move right away. And so then the big decision is basically Kennedy versus Brooks. So leaning towards dropping Brooks, mostly because he's just – I mean, I don't want to repeat myself, but, you know, he's a little more expensive and you know, Bournemouth have a really rough run of fixtures coming up. So, I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure, I wonder, to start dropping Callum Wilson in the near future, right? Like with this tough run of fixtures. I mean, just given that there's now a little bit of injury risk with him, he has scored against – he's scored on big teams this year, so it's not like he can't do it. But all things being equal, you'd rather your cheap striker was playing bad teams instead of good teams.
Yeah. I think Kane is the standout captain here in game week 19. If you're not looking at Mo Salah, so Man City away, all your favorite guys might be in danger of being rotated, depending on what game week 18 looks like. Another another potential game week for Hazard to troll everyone.
Almost definitely.
It's like a marginally appealing fixture for an Arban on Hazard, which can only mean one thing, a big blank.
Yeah, and then we've got Southampton, West Ham is the final match of game week 19. And that is a fun standalone match as well, because I feel like almost everyone in fantasy has one or two West Ham assets and they'll all be playing them. And so it'll be a fun, like everything will still be up in the air for that standalone match.
Yeah, a chance for you to feel better or feel worse about Boxing Day.
Exactly. All right, Brandon. Well, that's the podcast. Once again, if you'd like to support the podcast, and I thought I would note, Brandon, that, you know, we offer like some features. We want people to support the podcast. And I feel like they're getting some cool stuff. But for us, it's really just if you like the podcast and you want to support us, that's why we would want you to become a Patreon. We don't want anyone to feel like they're obligated or we're pushing them too hard to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I like to throw that out there occasionally. It's not like this is not a full-time job for us. So don't feel like you have to do it to keep us going or anything like that, but it's just a way to say thank you if you enjoyed the podcast. So just put that out there.
And I will put out this out there. You're welcome. to all our Patreon subscribers, you're welcome. All right, so speaking of, go to patreon.com/oascheating, and we have a 10% off discount code if you become a patron that's valid through the end of the month. That's good at the Always Cheating shop. You can check out our t-shirts, mugs, sweatshirts at oascheating.com/shop. Some producer thank yous: Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, and Da Big Gaffer. And if you want to say thank you, but in a different way, you could just listen to the podcast. You can subscribe to get every new episode. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you get your podcasts. Or just give us a 5-star review, write a comment on our iTunes page. That does help us a lot. Where else can people find us, Josh?
You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can always visit the website for this information. There's also a link to our Instagram page and more. Alwayscheating.com. And yeah, make sure you follow us on Instagram. We're going to try to post some fun football. Maybe I will try to post some photos of me attempting to watch Premier League matches while I'm in Florida over the next couple of game weeks. You usually do the same thing when you're in Michigan. Like,
yes.
What's the weirdest spot where you and try to secretly watch a Premier League match?
We could start a hashtag called Surreptitious FPL.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, good luck, everybody. Happy holidays. Have fun. Don't take the football too seriously. Just a game.
It is just a game. But what's serious? What's serious? It's Poku. He's serious. Poku. And Mbakani, he's very serious too. So yeah, be sure. Yeah, he's serious. Sam Vokes.
Free Sorlot already, right? I mean, free Sorlot. Like, give him a start. Give him a chance. Andre Ayew, like, it's not working. Jordan Ayew, that is. It's not working. Is that working with either Ayew? Get rid of the Ayews. Just focus on the Sorlots.
It's a joke, Hodgson. Get him out.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
This is like your second week in a row with just a terrible British accent.
All right. Happy holidays.
Yep, same to you, Brandon. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.